Welcome to the Clubhouse with Shane Bacon. I am your host, Shane Bacon. This week's Clubhouse podcast with Terry Gannon is brought to you, as always, by Ogio. And just a reminder, if you're looking for the perfect gift for the golfer in your life or yourself, may I suggest the Ogio Cirrus Golf Bag. The 2018 edition is out, and it's fabulous. Ogio sent me one, and it's everything you'd want in a bag. It's lightweight, it's easy to carry, comfortable on the shoulders, and all that without jeopardizing pocket space for the jackets and gloves, hand warmers, everything you might need as the weather gets cooler and cooler. Ogio is the leader in golf bag design, and they continue to pump out great products, including the Cirrus Stand Bag. Check out that product and everything they have at ogio.com, O-G-I-O.com, and use the promo code THECLUBHOUSE with no spaces, and boom, you will save 20% off the top, 20% gone. If you do that, save a little bit of dough this holiday season at ogio.com. Use that offer code THECLUBHOUSE. You will not regret it. And it's Tiger Week, still a comeback. And I think everybody is pretty much in agreement. It was everything we would hope for and more from Tiger. I mean, he didn't win, but nobody expected him to win, you know, logically. He played great, hit the ball forever. The chipping still not there, but as you saw at Albany, really, really tough to chip. The thing I really noticed with the chipping and pitching around these greens, the one guy there, Justin Rose, who lives there and calls Albany his home, would hit three woods off these greens. So if you think it was easy to pitch it off of these lies, just look at what Justin Rose does when he plays there all the time. He'd hit that little three wood bump and run. So I'm going to give Tiger a pass in the sense of chipping. I thought it was a great week for him. He looked great. He looked enthused, and that is what is important. He looked like he wanted to be out there. He wanted to be competing. So we got a taste of it. We got a taste of healthy Tiger as we head to 2018, and hopefully he'll just be out there. That's what we want to see. See him compete, see him play well, maybe get into contention a couple times. I'm not going to say he's going to win just yet, but I just think it was fun to watch that for 4 days. We saw him go on stretches, play some front nines unbelievably well. I mean, he was leading at one point, for goodness sake. So two thumbs up for Tiger. Two thumbs up for Ricky Fowler as well. He was the guy that won seven birdies in a row to start your round. That's a pretty solid start, if you will. 28 to start, and he just blew past Charlie Hoffman. It was unbelievable. So a great week for Ricky, a great week for Tiger, and now we go on a little bit of break. But before that, let's get to Terry Gannon. Terry, of course, calling the action for NBC Sports down in Albany, down in the Bahamas. He worked the weekend. He got a chance to see Tiger, the good, the bad, and the otherwise. So we chatted a lot of Tiger with him, chatted some Ricky, and then chatted a little bit of pickup basketball tips at the end. I know you're wanting that. That's what everybody here always sends me on social. Hey, you got any tips about pickup basketball? Well, hey, we're here for you. Terry Gannon and I chatted a little pickup at the end. Let's get to him. Terry Gannon. And we welcome into the clubhouse Terry Gannon, a man that I've basically tried to have a podcast with you the last few months. You're a busy guy. You're doing every golf tournament, it seems like.
I've just been avoiding you. I actually haven't been working at all, Shane. So
I know. Mark Loomis told me you would avoid me, and I knew that was going to be the case. You were out at Albany. You were in the Bahamas working, quote-unquote working, for a few days, covering this spectacle that was the Tiger Woods return. And I have to ask you, you know, it's not a massive fan base at this event, because of course it's tough to get to and not everybody can be there at the Bahamas at Albany. But did it feel different than past comebacks for Tiger Woods?
Yeah, it absolutely did. Rafa Nadal showed up, so it's different. I mean, people paid attention because I think there were rumors coming in and Brad Faxon talking about, you know, how far Tiger was hitting it and past DJ, and Ricky Fowler talking about playing with him and saying that he's hitting it past him. And I, for one, you kind of say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. And, you know, the several times I've been around Tiger in the last 2 years, I mean, he was physically really not in good shape. I mean, he walks out the door and you say, boy, I don't know if that guy can come back. It's not that I doubted his motivation or how much he wanted to come back, his desire. You just thought, I'm not sure he can come back from this physically. This weekend, I think, at least for me, He answered the biggest questions. Physically, had no pain. He's hitting the ball right up with the current generation, which a lot of people doubted whether he could ever come back and do that. And there's a ways to go, the short game, this and that. So I'm not ready to hand him the Masters. But for me, watching him for 4 days, I think he can win again.
I think so too.
It's a big thing.
You said it. I mean, I think when you're in this golf community and you're not a sports fan that pays attention when Tiger's there, or you're just, you know, maybe a casual golf fan that watches the majors and that, I feel like there was a little exhaustion from these Tiger comebacks, and I'm with you. I had Brad Faxon on last week talking about him playing with Tiger, and it did feel like everyone was almost in agreement that, wait a minute, this is going to be different. So for people like me who can be negative at times about these types of things, I was interested to see, again, if he could make it 72 holes, and I gave him an A-plus grade. I mean, I thought what he did for four rounds, you know, of course he had some bad stretches, but a lot of guys did. Saturday was tough on everybody. Nobody broke 70. I mean, you're looking at a guy that can compete, and that's all we've wanted. We've just wanted to see him compete.
He had a chance. That's what he's proven to me. I believe he can win again. Can he win a major again? Sure. Why not a major if he's going to compete against the best and have a chance in any event? Now, the final piece of the puzzle, and I don't, it's intangible, that aura that he had, and the old stepping on the first tee and having a two-shot advantage because he is Tiger Woods, and imposing his will and intimidating other players, will that ever be back? I'm not sure, but I know Justin Thomas playing with him the opening nine holes yesterday when Tiger was doing things like he used to do was awfully impressed. Does impressed ever get to the point of intimidation? I don't know, but I think he's got the desire to come back. And you know what? Age, forget the age. I mean, look at what DJ did in his 40s. So that to me, once he came back this week and he did what he did with off the tee, especially, I'm kind of a believer. I think he could come back and certainly be competitive again. I think he needs to play now. You know, we talked to him about his schedule, and he's not going to be specific, but I think he needs to play as much as he can because it's one thing to do it at home, on the range, around the putting green. It's another in competition, and maybe he's gotten – it seemed to me talking to him too, even off camera, that fire was lit this weekend.
Well, it had to have helped. I mean, again, you never know what it's going to feel like when you play tournament golf. I mean, you hear the – you know, everybody talks about, well, you're playing with your buddies. It's so much different. I mean, between those ropes, we've seen Tiger, you know, shoot 80 and skull chip shots and chunk them and do all sorts of bad stuff in tournament play. And this was a completely different guy. You talked about other players. You talked about Justin Thomas. I know you mentioned during the broadcast on Sunday a funny moment with Patrick Reed wearing the all red as well when Tiger came out. Did it seem like the players around it were feeling something different as well? The Jordan Spieths, the Justin Thomases, the Dustins and Koepkas, these are major winners for goodness sakes. Did it feel like they sensed something different as well?
The guys who'd been around him kind of had the attitude, I told you so. The players who had played with him the last month or so, I told you he was hitting it. I told you he was, this is how far he's hitting it off the tee. But it was funny, which I hadn't sensed before, especially the first couple of days, because I wasn't on the air. Steve Sands did the first 2 days, and I got in there. And on Friday, the other players on the golf course constantly wanting to know what he was doing. Even, you know, the Matt Kuchers of the world asking people, hey, what's Tiger up to if there's not a leaderboard out here in this part of the golf course? And they were really into it. I mean, I think more than anything, we'll see competition-wise what comes. But more than anything, they were buying into him being back more so than in the previous comebacks. And if not want him, I think they did want him. I'll say that they wanted him to play well and be in contention come the final day. And they were paying attention to it constantly, which I really didn't sense that in the other comebacks.
Yeah, and in outside of injury, I mean, Tiger being healthy, let's just assume, you and I assume that 2018 Tiger's healthy. Let's just say it. Plays 15 times, 20 yep. times, whatever he wants to play. So, you know, outside of the injury issues with Tiger, the biggest obstacle that he's going to have to face now are these guys. I mean, these players have gotten better and better and younger and longer and sharper. I mean, we've seen 63s and 62s at majors the last year. You're seeing guys, you know, tear apart these golf courses that you shouldn't tear apart. I mean, you think about what Jason Day did at the PGA Championship a few years back. I mean, Rory McIlroy looking to bounce back in 2018. Do you feel like the talent level now is as good as it's ever been in golf?
Yeah, I think there are more players who have that talent than ever, in part because of Tiger, in part because of the training, in part because of the technology, all the different things that come together to make up the modern game. I do think there are more players with that talent at the top now. Now, here's the thing about Tiger. When he was dominating, he didn't care who else was out there. He was going to win. You know, he couldn't give a rat.
Right.
He's going to go out there and do his thing no matter who he's playing against. now that he's been away, now that he's been in the team room as an assistant captain at the Ryder Cup, now that he's buddy buddy with these guys, he's friendlier, he's more outgoing with it. You see it and you know it, and people talk about it. Does he go back to that competitive mode where he gets in his own world and he takes on the world again? Or has that changed? That I don't know. And as an athlete, you look at that and you say, is that what made him great? Or was that a significant part of what made him great? And does he need to get that back in order to win, in order to beat this current generation? And I don't have the answer to that. It's going to be fascinating to watch, though.
Yeah, you make a great point. I mean, I even had a quote today about Tiger. I threw it in the Clubhouse newsletter about, you know, he says these guys are hitting him up every day, the Rorys and the Rickies and the Justin Thomases in his area in Florida about playing and going out. Let's go to Medalist. Let's do this. Let's do that. And, you know, Tiger was a guy that didn't talk to people. You know, Golf Channel aired all these majors that he won, you know, the 14 majors he won the last week or so. And rewatching him, I mean, there's times where it was Sunday and he was paired with Phil Mickelson, and I forgot that Phil Mickelson was in the final group because it was like he wasn't even there. It almost feels a little bit like that last year of Kobe. I mean, when Kobe played the last season of the Lakers, he kind of lost that. You know, I'm going to look through every opponent. He was slapping the guys on the butts and the guys he was playing against. You know, it was almost like he was rooting for them. Doesn't it feel a little bit like Tiger has embraced this culture? And as you said, I wonder how that will affect him when he's playing the final group at the Masters, you know, alongside Justin Thomas. I mean, you're not buddy-buddy then.
No, exactly. And do you need that in order to win the Masters, to win against this current crop? The difference with Kobe, in my mind, is, yes, he had changed, but physically he was not able to do what he did during his whole run. Is Tiger at a point physically where he can do enough where that doesn't matter? Or maybe it carries him to a point where he doesn't need to be that isolated figure anymore. I don't know.
It'll be interesting. I mean, again, we don't know what his schedule is going to be like. I'm assuming Torrey will be in there, especially with the way he's hit his driver. For my goodness sakes, he was hitting 330 with this draw. I keep joking that he's hitting this driver, this 10-yard draw, just for Augusta. You know, it's like the guy that knows he can only win one event or one golf course. He's like, I'm hitting this draw, and this is going to play at Augusta. That's the only course I care if it plays at. But, you know, Torrey may be on the horizon. We've spent, you know, 9 minutes or so talking about Tiger. We haven't mentioned Ricky Fowler. He's somebody I wanted to touch on. Of course, he won at the Hero World Challenge, for goodness sakes. You know, shoots that incredible 61. Do you feel like Ricky gets a bad shake here? You know, always being questioned about the majors, and, you know, he seems like the one face in golf right now that doesn't have one of those big ones. Do you feel like he gets a bad shake even when he wins?
It's the shake you're going to get when you're a star and you haven't won a major. Sorry, that's the way it goes. That's the territory. Sure, it's a bad shake, but it's just the way it is. And he's going to keep getting those questions until he does. There's no reason he can't. And you look at his game last year, he had his best numbers in almost every significant category statistically. And now he's won a player's title. So it's not like he can't win a major. It's just a matter of doing it. It's a matter of not having that one bad round maybe, or taking yourself out of contention and having to come back too far on that last day. There's absolutely no reason that he doesn't win a major this year. But if he doesn't, he's going to be hounded. That's just the way it is.
It feels Sergio-y, doesn't it? I mean, it feels very Sergio Garcia, where it just seems like no matter what he did, he was never going to be a guy that we put in this different level without the major, despite, you know, again, Sergio won a player's, Sergio won a ton of events. He beat the best in the world. He beat Tiger at events. But, you know, the 4 weeks out of the year, we circle. I always talk about we almost overrate these majors these days because all these guys play in all the same events. But like you said, you got to do it. I mean, and you've got to do it and have nobody else, you know, have one of those weeks. I mean, Martin Keimer at Pinehurst, Ricky finished a second to him. I mean, Martin Keimer just played out of his mind. So two things have to happen. I always wonder about that. But, you know, what you saw from Ricky and what we've seen from Ricky, he's definitely capable of doing it. It just depends on when it's going to happen.
I think, you know what, he's got the makeup to do it too. I don't think I'm sure it bothers him. I don't think it quite bothers him as much as we from the outside look in and say, oh, it must drive you crazy, you haven't won a major. I think it did with Sergio. I mean, it certainly made him doubt himself at some point. He utters the comment that I'm not good enough to win one of these at some point. Whether he truly believed it inside, we'll never know, because he eventually did. But there's a long stretch, and it took Sergio a long time, obviously, because I believe in part he got to the point where he thought the golf gods were against him. Carnoustie, the bad break, the putt right on the edge against Harrington. I think Ricky is the type of athlete, he's got the makeup that he goes out there and he plays. I don't think it grinds on him that he hasn't won a major yet the way we all think that it does. And I think that's a good thing because there are 49 events now in the season coming up. And you're right. They play against the best, play against the best in a significant number of them, even outside the majors. The one thing that's different is all of us putting so much emphasis on those four events. So it's self-inflicted pressure. And I think he is pretty good at not inflicting too much pressure on himself and yet being driven. So I don't see any reason he doesn't win a major this year.
You know, it almost feels like this hero thing will catapult people to good seasons, too. We saw it with Spieth a few years back. We've seen it with Hideki last year. I mean, it seems like if for whatever reason, you know, going out there and playing against 18 or 19 guys, you know, of the best in the world, I do think when you win this event, and I mean, you tell me, what's the atmosphere like? I mean, does it seem laid back? I mean, for these players, I mean, do they seem as into it as they do other events? Or, I mean, is it a thing that they're just happy to be here and, you know, go out there and on Saturday and Sunday they kind of turn it on?
I think they're driven as much as ever. I just think the money is so great. I mean, they're at a point where I put myself in their position. I'm not sure I wouldn't be buddy-buddy and you know, and cheering for my friend out there as well who just won. I know, I mean, I have this discussion all the time with Curtis Strange and all the guys, and Andy North and all the guys, and boy, it's so different than it used to be. I wouldn't be shaking this guy's hand or rooting for him on the 72nd hole. And I get it. And that's how it was. It doesn't mean, though, that they're not ultra competitive and really wanting to beat each other's brains out. I think they are. But the reality of the economics, and mostly because of Tiger's career, is such today that those, you know, in the top 10 in the world, the guys who've been there for a while, I mean, it's a different life. It's a different world. You are set for life.
You finish last place in this. You make $100,000. That is not a bad gig. Also not a bad gig is working this. Where does this rank on your favorite weeks of the year to work?
Oh, I can't rank it, but it was so, as soon as we found out Tiger was coming back, it certainly changed the dynamics of the equation. So yeah, I was really excited to get down there. And I had, I mean, just as you're a fan, you know this. You're covering it and you're documenting the event. You want to do it justice and bring the excitement and tell the story, but you're also a fan. So you're so interested in what the hell's going to happen with Tiger as you're watching. And you're reacting on that level too, because that's what the guy and the girl out there watching TV are reacting to. They're fascinated by, you know, whether you're going to see him fall apart, whether you're going to see him have pain and grab his back, whether you're going to see him go out and shoot 63. So you go in it with your eyes wide open, and it was pretty exciting. You're right. There was a much different buzz this time around than the previous comebacks.
Okay, so we've talked Tiger up. So now let's do the disclaimer of, okay, we've seen Tiger play four rounds. He had some good, he had some bad. So what do you see as a normal case scenario for 2018 for Tiger, a best case scenario, and then, I mean, a worst case scenario, which I'm assuming is not much golf and other injury, but what do you feel like people should now look at as the season progresses for Tiger Woods and be logical about it?
I think you're right. You know, somewhere in the 15, 16 event category, I'm not sure exactly, but Torrey Pines, maybe, certainly Riviera now, it's his event. So it'll be in LA, and so we'll see him at least a couple of times very early. I think in his mind, he's obviously the short game is still something he's got to come around. He's a long way from being complete. I mean, this was his first tournament back in competition, and he answered a lot of questions, and he left really, I think, content and happy and pleasantly, not surprised, but confirmed what he had hoped for through the 4 days. But now you go to work and now you all those little things and all the rust that is still there and all the touch around the greens, that just takes work now. But he answered the question of whether this is possible. And so I expectations wise, like, is he going to win? Is he going to be in contention at majors? Man, that's wide open, but it's going to be fun to watch. We'll see by the end of the year. I think in my mind, what's exciting is it is possible, and it brings a whole nother element now to this current generation that we're watching that hasn't been there in a while.
Yeah, I mean, just play the U.S. Open for us at Fox. That's all we want. We want to see you play the U.S. Open. Be at Shinnecock Hills. We'd love to see you healthy there, Tiger. That's what I want to say. I read about you getting into broadcasting. I mean, for people that don't know, you went to college at NC State, correct? You went to college and you weren't for baseball? Is that what you initially went for?
No, I was a basketball recruit, but I also played baseball and got recruited baseball-wise down there as well and played, quote-unquote, I didn't get in much, but my freshman year. So I played both basketball and baseball my freshman year. And then my sophomore year was 1983, and the year that we won the national championship in basketball, Jim Valvano. And so I came out and half the baseball season was over, and I was ready to enjoy the national championship and not have to go to work and play baseball. So I gave
I'm
up
done
the baseball
with that.
Career. Yeah, I do. Wait, I can go to Myrtle Beach with the guys and – No, I think I'll take a pass. So I gave up the baseball career.
And you tried to play professional, or you did play professional in Europe for a bit after, correct?
I had a cup of coffee over there, but it all came together at once. I didn't make the NBA, went to a couple of camps, and then had a chance to play in Italy and did in the summer for a short time. They offered me a contract, but it all came together. I had a chance. I wanted to coach. So I was a graduate assistant for Jim Valvano at NC State, and I had an opportunity to go into TV and coached for a while, for a year, and then went into TV and started to do – I was a college basketball analyst. That's how I started, making no money. And so I had to figure out a way to make a living and went around and started to work baseball, for example, the Charlotte Knights – Triple A baseball games I did play-by-play on, and a number of different things, and eventually signed – with ABC to do a number of different sports. So it wasn't something I planned. It kind of fell into my lap and I jumped at it and kept my options open and took it.
How did you transition into golf? Was it just changing jobs or more golf being available? I mean, was it something that you were really interested in and getting into golf?
I became a play-by-play guy. I crossed over from a college basketball analyst once I signed with, well, I did it before that, but eventually with ABC, play-by-play on college football on ABC, figure skating, which I never thought I'd be working. At the time, I knew who Peggy Fleming was. That's about it.
Your knowledge was one page. I gotta dig deep.
No, it was one and a half paragraph. That was about it. And in 1997, it was the same time Tiger came out. Somehow people remember Tiger's beginning of his career more than mine in golf. I don't know why. And that's when I started. I worked the tournament in Milwaukee. That was my first one. Jack Graham was the executive producer of golf at ABC and started it and have never looked back. But I've been a golf fan all my life. My dad was the average, public golf guy in Joliet, Illinois, three different courses with a foursome of his buddies. And for him, big money games every weekend. And I'd go out there and drive the cart and he'd let me once in a while hit a shot or two. And but great memories of, watching Arnie Charges and Nicklaus winning golf tournaments and Lee Trevino and on the couch with my dad as a kid.
And I have a very specific question to ask you. This is something I talk about a lot with my friends.
Uh-oh.
When did you stop playing pickup basketball? What age was it?
3 years ago when I tore a calf.
So how old were you 3 years ago?
Well, I just turned 54.
Yeah, so you played till you're 51?
Yeah.
I mean, this is
crazy.
Until
my body said, no more, you're too old, you're done. And there was no one around me. Like I cut out to the wing, caught the ball, planted, and then turned around to yell at the guy who jumped on my ankle and went, oh, there's no one there. This is not good. And then started screaming in pain and tore a calf. And that was it. It was in a boot for 6 months and said, no more.
Yeah. So I'm 34 and I've stopped playing pickup the last year or so. And I just
what?
Wonder from your perspective. Now you're a jump shooter. Now let's be. I mean, I know you can play throughout the position. Loomis has told me that you have plenty of game. He told me about the infamous game against you guys played against the Orlando Magic. That I think he said he was guarding Was it Horace Grant? He said.
No, it was Nick Anderson, and he wouldn't go out and even try to guard him. I'm yelling at him the whole time. I'm like, guard the guy. And he's yelling back, it's Nick Anderson. I don't care.
Right.
Go guard him.
This is, of course, my producer at Fox. You worked with him plenty of times at ABC. But Mark Loomis had told me this was during the strike season with the NBA, and he said you guys went to play pickup, and it just so happened to be two or three guys from the Magic, and he said it was a very intimidating moment. Did they know who you were?
I don't remember. I don't know if they knew who I was. I think so. I think so. Because Nick Anderson actually was a Chicago guy. I knew him. I grew up in the Chicago area. But anyway, we would play every week, like Thursday night. We would go to a close an area gym, whether on a college campus doing college football, we'd go play against the guys, or doing golf or whatever it was. And it just so happened that, yeah, we got next. Well, we didn't really want next. It was three players from the Magic. So it was a very quick game, put it this way. We didn't stay on the court. But wait, why did you give up? Why did you give up pickup?
You know, I broke my foot, and then I rolled my ankle, and I went, I'm done. I had a Jones fracture, which means you're in a boot for 3.5-4 months, and you can't do anything, and you can't play golf, and I live in Arizona. Being in a boot in June and July in Arizona is no fun. And I went, that's it. And I just wondered from you, not being a freak athlete like yourself, I'm going to go ahead and say that, what do you think is the perfect age for guys to give up pickup basketball?
Until they get hurt. Until you're made to give it up. I'd still be playing. Are you kidding me? You know, I hear this with, and I'm going to drop a name here. So I had this same conversation with President Obama. Years after we won the championship, we never got a chance to go to the White House. President Reagan invited us, and for various reasons, we had a very cheap athletic director who wouldn't pay for the bus or the hotels to send us.
Wait a minute. The athletic director wouldn't send you guys to the White House?
Yeah.
He
didn't want to pay for it. No, yeah, we got invited in 83, and yeah, he wouldn't pay. It was too much. Anyway, so we finally – We got to the White House because we have reunions. The championship team gets together every couple of seasons and has a few pops and tells stories and acts like we're in college again. And so we were sitting there chatting and said, boy, we got a basketball fan in the White House. I bet he'd bring us to the White House. And we put the thing in motion and he invited us. He said, yeah, I watched you guys back then. I'd love to have you. So anyway, I had this very same conversation with Barack Obama because he plays pickup basketball or did. And he said, you know what? I had to give it up because every time I'd try to go around a guy, my mind would be there and my body wouldn't. And I couldn't get around him and I couldn't beat guys that I used to beat. And I'm too frustrated. I said, no, you can't. You can't let that get. If you get hurt, that's one thing. But
right.
Otherwise, you got to keep playing.
Okay. You've convinced me.
We both got hurt, so we don't play.
Yeah, you've convinced me. I've been contemplating it. It's a new year in 18. I love playing pickup basketball. My issue is that, like, I might be 6 foot tall, and I love being inside. And I feel like that's just a bad place to be when you're my size. I love being in there trying to get rebounds and stuff like that, landing on feet.
Yeah, that's a problem. I never went inside the three-point line. It was like I never went in the paint. I never got hurt until I was 51. But it does come down to, you make decisions in your life based on like the little things, like getting on rental car buses and how much of a pain in the butt that's going to be. Or like my boot, I got my boot on right before I went down to Bay Hill, and the tower at Bay Hill is like 40 feet up. So I had literally every day had to walk up in my boot, and I said, that's it. Never again. I'm playing hoops, and that's how I made the decision.
That's a smart decision. I think that was a good. I actually missed out on a round at Southern Hills in Tulsa because of my broken foot, and it was the most bummed I'd been in a long time. I'd never played there. Still never played there, by the way, people at Southern Hills. But I had a chance to play there, and I landed on some guy that played center at Duke's foot and game point, and that's been the last time I really played it. But enough pickup basketball talk. I appreciate you diving into that with me. That was fun. And you led the nation in three-point percentage shooting 1 year, didn't you?
Yeah, it's a bit misleading, but don't tell anybody because it was an experimental year. So you had several conferences that had the three-point shot, but it wasn't a national rule. So it wasn't across the board in college basketball. But, you know, you don't have to tell people that.
I'm going to edit that.
Say,
out.
Hey,
I'll just edit that.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah,
I'd much rather just go with
secret.
You led the nation in three-point percentage. It's been fun chatting with you. I mean, we love what you do. I tell you, I get so many people on social media and stuff that compliment you. And by the way, nobody compliments anybody on social media. And they always love when you're calling golf, and I love it as well. So I appreciate you taking some time. Great job this week with the Tiger comeback. Hopefully we get to see him healthy for 2018, and maybe that'll also be my pickup basketball comeback year as well.
You go. Hope for great things in the upcoming year. I love listening to you, too. You guys do a great job. And I tell everybody over there who you work with, who I knew I've worked with for many years, that I say hello. And
I
appreciate
will
you having me on.
Yeah, for sure. I will. I'm going to see Loomis tonight, so I will let him know you said hello.
Very nice. Remind him, Nick Anderson, defense, please. In the new year, please play some defense.
Okay, I will. Thanks, Terry.
See you, man.
It looks like I'm a wreck. It's in the hole. It's in the hole.
Many thanks to Terry Gannett for jumping on with us and chatting a little Tiger as we go through the end of December, anticipating what will happen in 2018. Hey, he's healthy. He hit it solid. He got through 72 holes, and he finished in the top 10. That's really all you can ask for Tiger Woods. And just a reminder to check out Ogio.com if you're looking for that perfect gift for the golfer in your life. The Sierra Standbag's great. The Renegade Backpack is unbelievable. And if you use the offer code THECLUBHOUSE at checkout, boom, you'll save 20% off any gift you get. 20% off a gift around the holidays? That is unheard of, but it happens here with Ogio. Check that out at Ogio.com. Many thanks to Terry. Thanks to you guys for listening. We'll be back next week with more Clubhouse. You guys go out and play some golf this weekend before it gets too cold. Make some birdies.